Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD Podcast, as well as iHeart, Apple, iTunes, a whole bunch of places. Thanks very much for downloading us. And we'll thank Ben in advance for good engineering. He's great at it. Story one, if you want to shed fat and build muscle, what six foods does Kristen Kirkpatrick, our in-house dietitian, recommend? A study identifies a new link between sleep apnea and Alzheimer's. What does that mean for you? Why is my child a poor eater? Another top story this week, and it's not over yet. The flu is still spreading this year. Catch up sleep on the weekend, well, it may just increase your waistline. And sinus problems are tied to a higher risk of depression. Who knew? And what does that mean you should do if you have a sinus strip? Let's get down to it and get to it, as they say on TV. Myalgias and arthralgia is linked to checkpoint inhibitors. So checkpoint inhibitors is this great advance in immunotherapy for cancer patients that really has made a huge difference in the success rate of solid tumors like metastatic multiple myeloma and lung disease and lung cancers, et cetera. But apparently, someplace over 8%, maybe as many as 15% of patients are getting significant pain in their joints and muscles. And it turns out that when you look at it, they last a long time. They don't go away, and they're fairly significant. And if you will, they restrict their ability to get new dosing, that is second and third doses of the checkpoint inhibitor and subsequent cancer chemotherapy. So the point of this is, if you get new pain when you're getting cancer chemotherapy, tell your doc about it. They can switch you. They can give you therapies to ameliorate it. And the better and the faster it's ameliorated, the better. The next story is on a very interesting topic, and one that is dear to probably everyone's heart. It's Kristen Kirkpatrick saying, what builds muscle? And what she says is it's low-carb, high-protein food that you eat at the end of exercise. So she suggests nut butters, high-protein, low-carb energy bars, tofu, beans, and if I hadn't said nuts alone, and nuts, and then fish like salmon and ocean trout. So it is high protein, low carb food are the ones that help you build muscle, and that apparently the best time to have them, both in what to eat when and in Kristen Kirkpatrick analysis, is at the end of your exercise period. And I guess that brings me up. I should mention our book, What to Eat When. It teaches you about the time to eat, as well as what to eat if you want to build muscle, or what to eat if you want to have better sex, or what to eat if you're going on a first date, or what to eat if you want to improve your memory, or what to eat to prevent menopausal symptoms. Speaking of that, long-term hormone therapy in one study is linked to increased Alzheimer's risk. The short-term therapy, decreased risk. But this was with the old-fashioned, if you will, estrogen and progestin. And that progestin actually was negated the estrogen benefit. My guess is we will have studies come out with bioidentical estrogen and micronized progestin. Prometrium is the classic example, and bioidentical estrogen, where long-term therapy decreases not only breast cancer and colon cancer and menopausal symptoms, but decreases heart disease and Alzheimer's disease as well. They just haven't been using modern therapies in these studies, unfortunately, because these are long-term studies, and they started with the drug the pharmaceutical company gave them. the next study, and I don't know when we're going to get over that, but at least the first 10 years of therapy is now recognized as a benefit. Special K, ketamine, for some forms of resistant depression. A lot of side effects from this. Ketamine is a relative of LSD. When we give it in anesthesia, it's a great anesthetic, as long as you give a sedative hypnotic beforehand. If you don't, about 20% of people will have very serious psychoactive properties afterwards, bad dreams, et cetera, recurrent nightmares. But if you give a benzodiazepine first, you don't have those. In this study, apparently that those bad dreams help somehow that property of the ketamine, and it's not a racema ketamine, meaning it isn't the L and the D form combined. It's just one isomer of it, seems to have the same side effects, but also relieves a lot of depression. I'm still a skeptic on that. The data don't look very good to me. But the psychiatrists who run out of things to try for severe depression seem to like this as a fourth or fifth drug in the line. Sinus problems are tied to higher depression. Who knew this? I didn't. But recurrent sinus infections lead to depression. Preventing it by early treatment with a specialist and antibiotics and even opening up the sinuses with a balloon catheter. Much lower operation, much quicker operation than used to be done in the past, seems to be a huge benefit in preventing depression as well as in getting rid of the sinusitis. I like neti pot as a first step. An aerobic exercise does ease depression, even in those who are chronically ill or having cancer. Doing some exercise, getting out and walking. So if you're a buddy to one of these people, if you have someone in the family, get them out with chronic illness and get them to do physical activity. One of the sad parts about what the studies show, but it's good because you can treat it, is sleep apnea, that is stopping breathing during your sleep, is related to Alzheimer's disease in a strong way. And so that's one of the things you want people to notice if you're having a problem. And now you can even get sleep apnea diagnosis apps on your phone. If you're having that problem, that's one of the things you should consider going to a sleep specialist for, because we have much better treatments than just CPAP now. Even CPAP is a benefit in preventing Alzheimer's disease. And that's a strong benefit for a lot of people. So please do think about that. And as I say, you can go to sleepscore.com and get a something for your phone that helps you, diagnose this and diagnose whether you have to get or whether you should get to a sleep specialist because you've got sleep apnea. And I said there are a lot of things to help you. What about when you, I think one of the interesting things is, does catch-up sleep help you? And the data where they looked at people who they allowed catch-up sleep versus those who just had restricted sleep and didn't get catch-up sleep versus those normal sleep. Both the groups with restricted sleep, meaning only 5 hours a night, gained weight. They ate more and they ate less quality food. But it was interesting, the group that got the catch-up sleep on the weekends did even worse. So I don't know what that's all about. I'm a skeptic on that study. I think catch-up sleep helps, but here it was, catch-up sleep caused people to gain weight. One of the stories we carried before is, why does eczema patients have food allergies? Apparently, you've got to wear gloves if you've got eczema when you eat, because you get food in between the cracks in your skin, and that stimulates an immune reaction that is triggered throughout your body, and you get more food allergies that way. The next article I wish to talk about was one on how, again, it's the flu season is still spreading, and it's the worst flu. It's H3N2. It seems to be milder, but linger a longer time, meaning it comes with sore throats. It comes with upper respiratory symptoms. So if you've gotten the shot, you don't get the shakes as much. You don't get the severe high fever, but you do get the rest. So just be aware of it. If you've already had the flu shot, nothing more you can do other than if you get it the first day, maybe you can go on one of the anti-flu medicines. Remember, the foods are chicken soup and zinc lozenges. Nearly 8 in 10 think prescription drug prices are unreasonable, and 40% of people in the working population delayed or didn't get their prescription filled or didn't take all of their prescription, took half as much, so it could last twice as long because of costs. That's horrible. I don't know what to do with it, but that's even after Part D has passed. But this is in working adults, not those with Medicare. Maybe we need a better drug coverage for everyone. Urinary tract infection. British study shows get treatment fast. Don't try and tough it out. If you got symptoms, pain on urination, frequent urination that's new, fever with pain coming from your bladder or on urination, go and get treatment from an urgent care center or your primary care physician fast, because sepsis can develop, and sepsis is a life-threatening condition. So key takeaways today, remember low-carb, high-protein foods for building muscle. If you have sinus problems, get them treated early because it leads to depression. For depression, exercise works in everyone. And sleep apnea is a serious problem. If your partner says you're pausing and not breathing fully or something similar, get therapy for yourself. It's important. This has been Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual. This is 936A. The news of the week and especially what to do about it. Thanks for downloading. And we've already thanked Ben for great engineering, but thank you for downloading us. Tell your friends about us, rate us, and hopefully take advantage of it. So if you have one of the things we talked about and can do something about it, do it, especially with sleep apnea. Thanks again.